This is Jim Lansford. I'm going to be reading from the weekend papers. Today is Monday, August the 14th, 2017. This is part one. Reading from Saturday's paper to get started. The headline of this is Cunningham Children's Home. Groundbreaking, years in making. 2007, Henson's visit got the ball rolling on a new school project. By Marcus Jackson. Urbana. How excited are the kids at Cunningham Children's Home about the prospect of a new education and recreation facility moving into the construction phase later this month? A couple of kids saw the designs and said, "I'm not leaving this place until I get to be in the building," said Sharla Jolly, Cunningham's Director of Advancement. That just shows the excitement for what's about to happen. Groundbreaking for the ERC, which will house Cunningham's two schools, gymnasium and cafeteria, is set for August 20th, with Lou and Mary Henson among the guests in attendance. It was a 2007 visit to Cunningham by the Hensons that set into motion the idea for an updated facility. During that visit, Illinois' winningest basketball coach took a look at the gym and said, "No child should have to play in this facility." Not long after that, with the help of longtime Cunningham supporter and former Illini star Kendall Gill, the Hensons launched the Coaches Campaign, aimed at raising money to fund a new facility. With the crash in the economy in 2008 and a change in leadership at Cunningham, the project stalled. But thanks to the persistence of the Hensons and donors like the former Cunningham board member Dave Line, the $14 million project is on track to be completed by the fall of 2018. Students are expected to occupy the facilities in January 2019. Those buildings the schools are housed in were temporary buildings, and they were 20 or 30 years past the date they should have been used, Line said. The children are much more complex now than the kids they were seeing when the buildings were put on the campus. They really need a new school desperately. Line joined board shortly after the Coaches campaign was launched. He has seen firsthand how Cunningham improves the lives of the children who utilize the facilities. Line, who worked in healthcare administration and now owns Smoothie King franchises in Champaign, grew up poor in western Illinois, but says he always had unconditional love at home. He recognized that the children at Cunningham dealing with emotional and learning disabilities aren't as lucky as he was. "That made all the difference in the world to me, so I love this organization and I love this cause. That's why I got so involved," he said. "Cunningham's a real jewel in this community, and in a relatively short amount of time, they transformed those kids from kids going nowhere to those who can actually live a relatively normal life." It's a sigh of relief that this is finally getting done. Of the $14 million for the facility, about $8.5 million will come from private donations. Nearly 60% of that has been raised, Jolly said Friday. Fundraising events, in conjunction with the United Methodist Women, which supports Cunningham, will be held as they continue to climb toward that goal. "We're doing mailings, trying to stay in touch with people, and having one-on-one conversations with people who have supported us," Jolly said. "We've had great support in our community for years." The gym at the ERC will be named in honor of Lou and Mary Henson as a token of appreciation for their contributions, both monetarily and in their vision for the new facilities. "They do a major job over there for the kids," Lou Henson said. "We've been really involved and it's exciting." The ERC will replace the Gerber School and Circle Academy, special education programs located on the 32-acre campus. The new facility will cover 50,000 square feet, including the gym and cafeteria. The gym will be used for athletic competitions, concerts, plays, school meetings, and therapy rooms, among other things. The ERC will have 13 classrooms and offer the latest in educational technologies to meet the academic needs of individual students, officials said. We're at a point now where this facility is really a must, Jolly said, to be able to move our kids out, move the staff into this new space. That's going to give them exactly what they need to be able to do their work better is incredible. Tom's Mailbag, Campus Construction. With the school year starting and stretches of Green Street closed for construction, what's the plan to help manage increased traffic on Springfield Avenue, particularly at the crosswalk by Uni High? Stop signs on the way. Urbana Public Works Director Bill Gray said that a week before University Laboratory High School opens, additional stop signs will be installed to create an all-way stop at the corner of Matthews and Springfield Avenues. Once Green Street is reopened, the added stop signs will be removed, Gray said. Motorists, pedestrians, and bicyclists are all asked throughout the MIC core projects to use caution and be alert to the changed street and sidewalk conditions in this area while on campus. University of Illinois Police Spokesman Pat Wade added, "This is probably a good opportunity to remind everyone that they might want to get out the door to go to work or class a couple minutes earlier if they plan to take Springfield Avenue. There might be a small inconvenience now, but obviously the hope is that this will help everyone get around campus a whole lot easier for many years to come," by Tom Casey. And then from the history column, area history. In 1917, 10 new airplanes arrived at Chanute Field in Rantoul from the Curtis factory in Buffalo, New York, and were unloaded on a Sunday morning. The work of assembling the planes was to begin the next day and was expected to be completed a day or so after that. There were then 32 planes at Chanute. Almost 2,000 people were on the road west of the field that morning to watch the flying. Only one machine went up, however. In 1967, your idealism does not last long at all, said Ed Scogan, a Peace Corps member from the Hensley Township outside of Champaign, after he returned from 2 years as a Peace Corps volunteer in Brazil. Quote, "But you have to keep a little bit of it to last for 2 years," end quote. Tom's Mailbag. On Friday, columnist Tom Kosicz answered more than a dozen questions at NewsGazette.com. Here's just a sampling. I keep hearing rumors that Golden Corral may be moving into the old Ryan's location. Know anything about it? Golden Corral has selected a location for a restaurant in Champaign, but not at the old Ryan's site, said real estate broker Jay Sikorsky at Coldwell Banker Commercial Devonshire Realty. But he said he can't say where the new Golden Corral will be. They're hoping to announce their location by the end of the year. My husband and I attempted to eat at Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy yesterday evening. However, when we pulled into the parking lot, the restaurant was fenced off and the inside of the building looked gutted. The BWW logo is no longer present on the building facade. So we wondered, what might be going on? Closed for renovations or closed for good? The signs are back, and the restaurant reopened Thursday after an approximately $190,000 remodeling, according to its Savoy building permit. The Ice House on Prospect seems to be closed. What's up? It is closed. We were unable to get in touch with anyone from the business, but we noted that they no longer had an Illinois liquor license, and Champaign's Deputy Liquor Commissioner, Matthew Rushley, reported the staff there contacted the owner, and they were indeed closed, and it is in the process of selling the business. Say a word or two about the Pines, another of my 1950s high school days. Not to be confused with the neighborhood retail development in Urbana. The Pines was a drive-in restaurant at 1509 South Neal Street, now a Walgreens, It started as a roadside cafe operated by Hugh Brownfield of Urbana in an area well outside of the Champaign city limits in 1934. In 1949, it was remodeled, but its owner, Finis Jolly, died a few months later. It was rebuilt 10 years later after the state acquired about a third of the existing building for right-of-way for Kirby Avenue underpass under the Illinois Central Railroad tracks. The Pines were bought in 1964 by the owners of the Ramada Inn that was built west of the restaurant. What is Enoteca, located next to the Cupcake Store on Walnut, and when will it be opening? There's a liquor license application pending at the City of Champaign. The owner of Enoteca Cudo, Dario Vulo, who also owns Nando Molano Trattoria a block away at 204 North Neal Street, said that he had hoped to be open in May. We are hoping to be open in the next 6 to 8 weeks, he said. Last week, I noticed Bradley Avenue being blocked by a freight train for roughly 2 hours in the afternoon. What was the issue? Is the city ever going to create an overpass there? Part of the problem is that Illinois no longer has a law restricting how long an at-grade crossing can be blocked by a train. In 2008, according to Marianne Manco at the Illinois Commerce Commission, the Illinois Supreme Court ruled that an Illinois statute prohibiting the blocking of a railroad crossing by a rail carrier was unconstitutional and preempted by federal law. Because of the doctrine of federal preemption, the Illinois Commerce Commission has no regulatory authority over train blockings, crossings in Illinois. The Federal Railroad Administration has the authority to regulate block crossings, but has not issued any regulations so far, Manco said. As for construction of an overpass, that's up to the city, she said. The ICC could offer financial assistance from its Grade Crossing Protection Fund, but the city would have to initiate the process. The health reporter is in. Each week, longtime health reporter Deb Pressey answers questions on our website. Question: some hospitals are following the World Health Organization's recommendation to delay a newborn baby's first bath by 24 hours after birth. What's the policy on that at local hospitals? Carl Foundation Hospital and Present Covenant Medical Center both promote a bathing delay and honor the wishes of the parents. Provided mom and dad are on board, they both delay baby's first bath, but generally not for as long as 24 hours. Carl changed his policy on newborn bathing last October, encouraging parents to delay that first bath for 12 hours after birth. Covenant delays new baby bathing for at least 4 hours or longer when parents request that, nurses at the hospital said. A lot of it is based on parent preferences and what's going on with mom and baby, said Robin Wenke, patient care manager at Covenant's birthing center. We always try to get babies skin to skin as soon as possible. Getting a newborn into skin-to-skin contact with mom, or if mom's not able, with dad, right after birth, already delays that first bath by 4 hours, and it can be longer. If parents ask, we will delay more, Wenke said. Both Covenant and Carl promote skin-to-skin bonding time with baby and parents right after birth, and the bathing delay also helps stabilize the baby's blood sugar, helps regulate baby's body temperature, and eases and promotes breastfeeding, according to both hospitals. Specifically, the WHO recommendation states the following. Bathing should be delayed until after 24 hours of birth. If this is not possible due to cultural reasons, bathing should be delayed for at least 6 hours. Appropriate clothing of the baby for ambient temperature is recommended. This means 1 to 2 layers of clothes, more than adults, and use of hats/caps. The mother and baby should not be separated and should stay in the same room 24 hours a day. Some parents are put off by holding a baby who is still gunky and hasn't been cleaned of amniotic fluid and the vermix covering the skin. Though the longer the mom goes into the pregnancy, the more of that vermix will have been absorbed, Winky said. Vermix is the white, waxy substance covering a baby's skin that forms during the third trimester and helps protect against pathogens left on after birth for a time. It also helps to stabilize body temperature, she said. A newborn baby doesn't have the same kind of body temperature regulation adults have, Winky said. When they're born, their bodies are trying to adapt to being on the outside, she said. With a 24-hour delay, the baby reaps the full benefit of the vermix, Winky said. But even with an earlier bath, the vermix isn't completely removed because it's so thick. Melissa Riegert, a nurse at Carl's OB Services and an educator for its mother-baby unit, recalled attending an in-state conference more than a year ago, in which delayed bathing was a topic, and about a quarter of those attending raised their hands when the speaker asked how many hospitals were delaying first baths. She brought the idea back to Carl, and Carl spent last summer coming up with new materials for expectant parents so they wouldn't be surprised by a new policy, she said. As of last October, Carl now delays baby's first baths by 12 hours with the parents' permission, she said. Carl set out with a goal of 85% participation in the 12-hour delay, but the participation has been 96%, Riegert said. It was met with less resistance than we expected, she said. Winky said a bathing delay also cuts down on disruptions right after birth for the baby and allows time for a new mom to participate if she can't get out of bed right away. It can even allow time for siblings to arrive and participate. And it's kind of a family event this way, she said. All this applies to normal term births, according to the hospitals. At Covenant, a preterm and or sick baby in the special care nursery might not be bathed for 24 hours or longer to avoid the additional stress, Winky said. Carr will delay the bath for an hour for term babies and 2 hours for preterm babies if parents object to the 12-hour delay, Riegert said. Of course, there are also times that first bath can't be delayed due to safety reasons for the baby. If the moms are positive for HIV or hepatitis B or come in with active herpes, the baby gets that bath right away after birth, then is placed in skin-to-skin with mom, Riegert said. Carl has a lot of families that come in with birthing plans for the hospital to follow, Riegert said. What's really cool is that we are seeing a lot of delayed bathing on the birth plans, she said. Teen faces charges in fatal crash, aggravated DUI, by Mary Schenck. Urbana, a 15-year-old Fisher girl, has been criminally charged in juvenile court with causing the death of her companion in April with her erratic driving. The girl was admonished Friday by Judge Tom DeFantis on 2 felony counts of aggravated driving under the influence of a drug, substance, or compound in the blood, breath, or urine. It was her first court appearance on the charges, which stemmed from the April 23rd death of Damon Mosley, 34, of Fisher. He died at about 3:15 p.m. that Sunday in the single-vehicle crash about 2 miles northwest of Rantoul. The charges allege that she was driving a pickup truck when it crashed near the intersection of County Roads 3200 North and 1200 East, and that her driving resulted in Mr. Mosley's death and that she was not licensed. State's Attorney Julia Reitz only recently filed the charges after receiving results of toxicology tests on the girl that showed cocaine in her system. If she were tried as an adult, the more serious aggravated DUI count carries penalties ranging from 3 to 14 years in prison. As a juvenile, the court has more sentencing options should she be convicted. Urbana attorney Harvey Welch appeared for the teen. Defana set a status hearing for September 8th. Champaign County Circuit Court. 70-year-old sentenced to 5-year term by Mary Schenck. Urbana. A 70-year-old Urbana man with a 50-year criminal history was sentenced Friday to 5 years in prison for his latest crime. Dewey Huff, whose last known address was in the 900 block of Fairview Avenue, pleaded guilty to theft with prior residential burglary conviction, admitting that on January 22nd or 23rd, he stole electronics from the Wells & Wells Construction Company on North Walnut Street in Champaign. Assistant State's Attorney Troy Lazar said an employee of the business discovered a smashed window and blood on the counter at the morning of January 23rd. A computer monitor had been stolen. Lozar said DNA extracted from the blood matched Huff, and he was charged with the crime just a week ago. Lozar said Huff's prior convictions included 6 for burglary and residential burglary, as well as others for criminal damage to property and theft. In 2013, he pleaded guilty to theft in 2 Champaign County cases for stealing whiskey from a grocery store and a computer from a campus bar. He received an 8-year prison sentence then. In return for his pleas to theft, Lozar dismissed a more serious charge of burglary and a separate misdemeanor charge of possession of drug paraphernalia. Champaign Police. 3 shootings under investigation by Mary Schenck. Champaign. Champaign police are investigating 3 separate incidents of shots fired Thursday night and Friday morning, one of which left a Champaign man with a non-life-threatening injury. Lieutenant David Schaefer said shots were fired in the 2000 block of Olo Drive about 9:04 p.m. and in the 2400 block of West Springfield Avenue about 9:11 p.m. Thursday by a man in a black Chevrolet Tahoe. It's unknown if these are related to a shooting that injured a man at the Country Brook Apartments in the 2600 block of West Springfield Avenue at 2:20 a.m. Friday, he said. Police received several calls of shots fired on Ola Drive, a short street just east of Jefferson Middle School. Officers found several shell casings in the street and interviewed witnesses who described the shooter as a black man wearing a black baseball cap who was in a black Chevrolet Tahoe SUV. Minutes later, police were called to the 2400 block of West Springfield for reports of shot fired from a black Tahoe, but could find no evidence. No one was injured that police know of in either of those blocks. Schaefer said he was uncertain if there was any property damage. At 2:18 a.m. Friday, police were called to Country Brook, where they found a 23-year-old Champaign man on the ground outside an apartment building. Schaefer said the man had been involved in a physical fight outside, and during the course of that, he heard shots fired. He runs away and realizes he had taken a round in the forearm, Schaefer said. Officers gave him treatment at the scene before he was taken to a local hospital. Anyone with information on any of these shootings is asked to call Champaign City Police at 217-351-4545. Information can also be provided anonymously through Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477, parentheses tips, online at 373tips.com or through the P3Tips mobile app. Champaign County Court. Guilty plea to theft yields prison term. Urbana. A Champaign County judge recommended an Urbana man whose crimes have been linked to his drug addiction for treatment while in prison. Clavin Davis, 47, whose last known address was in the 1200 block of South Vine Street, pleaded guilty to retail theft over $300 and was sentenced Thursday to 8 years in prison on credit for 195 days already served in jail. Davis admitted to Judge Heidi Ladd that on December 26, 2016, he entered the Champaign Walmart and stole a sound surround system, a laptop computer, and a KitchenAid mixer worth a total of $900. As part of a negotiated plea worked out by Assistant State's Attorney Tim Sullivan and Davis's attorney Ed Piriano of Champaign, three other criminal charges in which Davis was charged with retail theft, burglary, and possession of a controlled substance were dismissed. Sullivan also agreed not to file new charges in another case in which Davis was the suspect. Sullivan told the judge that Davis has multiple prior convictions for possessions of a controlled substance, burglary, theft, aggravated battery, resisting police, obstructing justice, and driving under the influence. Piriano asked Ladd to recommend Davis for drug treatment, which she agreed to do, but explained to Davis that the decision is up to the officials at the Department of Corrections. Street Crimes Task Force. Champaign man charged in seizure of drugs, weapons. Police search of home turns up cocaine, pot, and firearms. By Mary Schenck. Urbana. A Champaign man has been criminally charged with having guns and drugs in a home in Champaign. Street Crimes Task Force Supervisor Sergeant Matt Henson said his detectives have been investigating Oligaro Mato Orozco, 22, who listed an address in the 0 to 100 block of Sycamore Drive for alleged drug activity for about a month. Henson said police had collected enough information by Thursday to obtain a search warrant from a judge for a home in the 0 to 100 block of Blue Spruce Drive. Both Sycamore and Blue Spruce are in the Shadowwood Mobile Home Park, just east of North Market Street. Henson said police did the court-authorized search about 8 p.m. Thursday and recovered about 1.7 ounces, or 49 grams, of powder cocaine, about 12 ounces, 350 grams of cannabis, a pistol, a revolver, and ammunition. Mata Orozco did not have a valid firearm owner's identification card, Henson said. He was charged Friday with possession with intent to deliver cocaine, a Class X felony because of the amount, possession with intent to deliver cannabis, a Class 3 felony, with two counts of possession of weapons without an FOID, which are misdemeanors. The Class X charge carries a mandatory prison term of between 6 and 50 years upon conviction. Judge Randy Rosenbaum set Mata Orozco's bond at $75,000 and told him to be back in court September 5th. Monday, August 14, 2017. House on call. Senate overrides Rahner's SB1 veto. We're now a week inside the week most area students head back to class, and Illinois is still without a school funding budget. Here's a glimpse at where things stand after Sunday's action by the state Senate. Happened. No surprise here. By a 38-19 margin, the Democrat-led Senate voted Sunday to override Governor Bruce Rahner's amendatory veto. To be continued in Part 2. This has been Jim Lansford reading the Champaign News Gazette over the weekend.